Okay, we're beginning here on the bottom of Ayin Vavam Bet, four lines from the bottom. Amrav Shimon ben Pazi, Amrav Yeshua ben Levi, Ein halacha ke oto azug. The halacha is not like that pair. Now, if we go back to the beginning of the Gemara, we had a braita that was brought that said, Hafarat nidarim kol hayom. Rabbi Yossi b'Rabbi Yehuda v'Rabbi Elazar b'Rabbi Shimon amru me'eit le'eit. So we had a machloket between the Tanakama, who is in concert with the Stam Mishnah that we have here, as well as the Stam Mishnah and the Gemara and Shabbat, versus we have the Rabbi Yossi b'Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Elazar b'Rabbi Shimon who say that it goes me'eit le'eit. That Hafarat Nedarim is a 24-hour period of time. That's what's called B'yom Shmo. Whereas the Tanakam and our Mishnah say B'yom Shmo literally means on the day that he hears it. Right? The difference being on the definition of the word B'yom. Yom can have numerous meanings. Yom can mean day, as in day and night. It also can mean daytime, just the daytime. And B'yom can also mean the day of the week. So, since there are many interpretations of it, there the machloket derives from B'yom Shamo. How do we interpret that in the Psukim? And we saw that at the end of yesterday's daf, how exactly to interpret that and how their opinions play out. So, Rabbi Shimon ben Pazi, in the name of Rabbi Shimon ben Levi, says the halacha is not like that pair. That pair being the opinion that says it's me'eit le'eit, that the halacha is not like them. Now, the Rosh over here notes that there were girsa'ot in the Gemara that actually changed this and said that Amar Rabbi Shimon ben Pazi, Amar Rabbi Shimon ben Levi, Halacha koto azug. Halacha is like that pair. The reason that they do this is because the Gemara in Shabbat, where the other piece of this is found, is a Stam Mishnah over there that also discusses that we're not Matirim Nadarim b'Shabbat. And over there also there's an opinion that B'yom Shamo is only on the day itself and not Me'id Le'eit. But then the Gemara concludes over there, B'yom Shamo means Me'id Le'eit. So those people that changed the gears over here were trying to reconcile between the Gemara's conclusion in the Gemara on Shabbat and our Gemara over here. And that's what the Rosh says. V'yesh svarim gorsim halacha ke oto azug mishum de bishulei Shabbat garsinan v'hilchota hafarat nidarim me'eit le'eit. And therefore they wanted to reconcile between the Gemara at the end of Shabbat and this Gemara. And therefore their gears read that the halacha is like these Tanaim over here. And the reason that they're doing this is to say that despite the fact that we have a Stam Mishnah here, and we have a Stam Mishnah in Shabbat, nevertheless, the halacha is koto azug. It's like that pair, similar to the conclusion of the Gemara in Shabbat. On the other hand, if you keep the girsa that we have here, which is ein halacha koto azug, the halacha is not like that pair, then it's coming to say, despite the fact that they are, quote-unquote, a rabim, because there are multiple opinions that say, yes, it is made late. Nevertheless, we paskin against him, and that's why the Gemara here went out of its way. Rabbi Shub ben Levi went out of his way to tell us the halacha is not like that pair. Now, the Rosh over here says that he's not bothered by the fact that the Gemara in Shabbat comes to a different conclusion, and therefore he says that it could be that Rabbi Shub ben Levi argues on the conclusion of the Gemara, or more importantly, the other way around. The conclusion of the Gemara over there, which is Stama Deshas, argues on Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. And therefore, he's not bothered by the fact that this Gemara says, Ein halacha koto azug, versus the Gemara there that concludes, Me'eit le'eit is the proper halacha. So then the Gemara continues here. Levi savar the me'evad kahani tana'e. Levi thought to do or paskin like these tana'im. Amalei rav, hochi amar chavivi. This is what my beloved said. Whenever Rav refers to Chavivi, he's referring to his uncle, Rabbi Chia. We used to call him Chavivi. He was both his uncle and his Rebbe, and he was very close with Rabbi Chia. Ein halacha koto azug. Halacha is not like that pair. Then we have two ma'asim that are brought down. Chia barav, shodi gira, you shot an arrow, ubodik, and checked it out. Rava baravuna yoti v'koim, would sit and get up. So now, this piece of the Gemara, it's not clear what it has to do with our Gemara itself, and why it's brought here at all. So the Rosh explains that it depends on the Girsa that we had before. If the Girsa is Halacha Ka'oto Azug, that the Halacha is like that pair, that it is Me'eit Le'eit, then the Rosh says that this Gemara belongs over here, and he's going to give an explanation for it. He says, on the other hand, if the Girsa is like in our Gemara, which is Ein Halacha Ka'oto Azug, that the Halacha is not like that pair, then this Gemara actually belongs later on in the Sugya because it's related to something that we're going to see later on in the Sugya. So if you look at the Rosh says here, in the second to last line, B'chol Sfarim, Garsin and Hocha, Chir Barav, Kishaita yishto no deret. When his wife took a neder, lo haya matir miyad. He would not be matir the neder right away. Elaya shotek lekantara. He used to be silent in order to put a little pressure on her so that she understood that it wasn't a good idea to take the neder. Kilo haya rotze lekayim nidra. And he was pretending in a sense that he was going to be mekayim the neder. Ve'ezorek chetz bakotel. Then he used to put an arrow into the wall. The kavein bitzel, to know when the shade reached that point along the wall, that he would be mat to the neder before the shade reached that point on the following day. So what that means is that it's a proof to the fact that he held me'eit le'eit, that he was mat to his wife's neder me'eit le'eit, and he used the arrow as the siman, basically a sundial, to know when he would be mat to the neder before the 24 hours had elapsed. And the same thing with Rabba bar Rav Huna. Havakoi leida midatzilo the kavein bo the macharat. He used to check out, get up and sit down and check out where the shade was on that day, so that we know the next day until what time it could be made for the neder. So that's what the Rosh says is the explanation of this Gemara, if you think the halacha ka oto azug. The halacha is like that pair, that it goes made late. Now we just bring proofs from two Amoraim that is the case, that the halacha is koto azug. On the other hand, the Rosh says that if we have the girsa like Argamar, which is ain halacha koto azug, then these stories don't belong over here. And he says, of asrim de garsinin ain halacha koto azug, ain mekomo kan, ele kaman bishmaitin. They belong further on in the Gemara. And that is based on the explanation you can see here. There's an explanation in Rashi as well as in the Ran as to what happened here. So Rashi says over here, Chir Barav, have a shodik gira ubodik. He used to shoot an arrow and check it out. Shloya me'ayin kokach beneder. He didn't look into nedarim so carefully. El kamo shaya osek b'mlachto. It was, whatever he was doing at the time, he continued to do it. Shaya yurechit, mitokach badik le the neder. He used to, while he was doing his work, whatever he was occupied with, he used to ask the person, why did you take the neder? And he was matir the neder without putting in too much thought to it or too much focus. He was engaged in doing other things and was matir the neder like that. And Rabba Rav Huna is yativ v'kayim shloya yoshev bimkom echad. He didn't sit in one place to focus or concentrate. Ella omed v'yoshev abadikle. He used to get up, sit down, and take a look and check it out, decide what he wanted to do with it. But he wasn't so focused. So then in this case, that doesn't really seem to have anything to do with our Gemara. And that's what the Ran suggests over here. Agav grora derav, mighty hocha. These were just brought down as an aside over here because we mentioned about the story with Rav and Rabbi Chia, his uncle. So then they bring a story about Chia Barav, Rav's son Chia. They bring a story about him. But not that this is related to anything we said before, which is a little strange. I mean, it happens in the Gemara sometimes, but still seems a little far-fetched that it's brought over here. And again, the Ran gives a very simple explanation to what Rashi says, which is that he would be matir the neder because he believed potchim b'charata, that you're allowed to use charata as a means for being poteach the neder, and therefore he didn't have to look into it so carefully, because as long as the person regretted the neder, he really could be okay the neder, and you didn't have to look into it so much. And the same thing with Rabba Rav Huna, shalaya midakdek b'davar, elomed v'yoshev kamo shayam izdamin lo, wherever the person came, if he was sitting, he was standing, however the person approached him, he would remain in that state. It wouldn't change, it wouldn't focus so much on it. So now, what the Rosh says is, those are nice explanations, and it's nice that you think maybe it's connected to Chir Barav, but he says, the Girsa is like what we said, Ein Halacha Koto Azug, this Gemara belongs later on, and you'll see. I'll point out to you where he believes the Gemara belongs, and you'll see that it actually fits into the Gemara later on. And therefore, he thinks it's misplaced over here, if the Girsa is like what our Gemara has. And now, the Gemara continues on the top of Ayin Zayin Amud Aleph, it's not autumn. We have a Mishnah in the Gemara in Shabbat. Meifirin nidarim b'Shabbat, v'nishalim nidarim shein l'tzorach Shabbat. So one is allowed to do hafarat nidarim on Shabbat, and one is allowed to do hatarat nidarim on Shabbat, l'tzorach ha-Shabbat. So now the question, or the obvious question, in the Mishnah is as l'tzorach Shabbat, which shows for the necessity of Shabbat. L'tzorach Shabbat, is that modifying only the latter statement in the Mishnah, which is nishalim? The hatarat nidarim ha-yidei ha-chacham can only be l'tzorach Shabbat. But hafarat nidarim can be done no matter what. Or is the tzorach Shabbat modifying both of the statements, both mefirim nidarim b'Shabbat and v'nishalim nidarim shein l'tzorach Shabbat? So that's what the Gemara says. Yibailu, mifirini darim b'shabbat l'tzorech shabbat? O delma afilu shelo l'tzorech? Is it only for tzorech shabbat? Or mivin shelo l'tzorech shabbat? So the question of the Gemara really relates to the nature of hafara versus hashala. When a person gets hatarat nidarim, it looks somewhat like a din. And since it looks somewhat like a din, we're not going to allow you to do it on Shabbat. Elo b'makom tzorech. If there's a tzorech Shabbat, Rashi over here suggests that tzorech Shabbat is something where she's not able to eat or drink, or has something to do with putting on nice clothing, things that relate to oneg Shabbat, that's going to prevent her from accomplishing oneg Shabbat, then they become the tzorech Shabbat. So tzorech Shabbat, we get hatarat chacham for that. And because otherwise it seems like it's a din, therefore we're not going to allow you to do it on Shabbat. We have a dispensation where it's the tzorech Shabbat. That's one possibility. The other possibility is that when it comes to hatarat and neder ayidei chacham, there's no time limit on it. There's no expiration. So why do it on Shabbat when you can do it on non-Shabbat? You can just wait till after Shabbat and deal with it. So if it's the tzorech Shabbat, then there's a pressing need to deal with it on Shabbat. So therefore we deal with it. But if there's no pressing need to deal with it on Shabbat, then why not just deal with it on Yom Rishon or any other day of the week? Why deal with it on Shabbat? There are others suggest that the problem on Shabbat is tirda or tircha, that there's effort or people have to get engaged and it distracts them from Shabbat itself. That might be the problem. Or the Rambam suggests over here in the Perush Mishnayot, he suggests in other places that in Perush Mishnayot in Shabbat, he suggests that the problem is that it's a problem from the Navi of Mimso Chetzecha Bedaber Davar, that you're only allowed to speak on Shabbat Dvarim Shel Shabbat or Dvarim Shel Chetzei Shamayim. You're not allowed to speak about things that deal with you, and therefore that's the failure on Shabbat, and that's why you can't do it on Shabbat. Now, when it comes to Hafara, it might be different. Now, Hafara could be just like the Hashalat HaChacham, and therefore we would parallel the two of them, and it would only be the Tzorcha Shabbat. Or there's a possibility that Hafara works differently, and therefore it would even be allowed on Shabbat when it's Shalol Tzorach Shabbat. So the Rosh claims over here, because when it comes to Hafara, Inami Mishum de Baal Mefer below Petach, since the Baal can do Hafara without any Petach, Ubelo Charata be Dibor Ba'alma, doesn't require any thought, he just has to say it, just has to articulate it. Mefer Afilu Shalol Tzorach Shabbat. So as opposed to Hashalat HaChacham or Hatarat Neder, which requires investment by someone to figure out the issue and to spend time on it. So that might be tircha, tir to the Shabbat, according to the Rambam, a problem of the ber davar, that you're getting involved with things that aren't the tzorach Shabbat. Over here, by hafara, it's a simple statement and you're done. That's one possibility. The other possibility is that hafara comes with the time expiry to it. And therefore, the time expiry will be important to the fact that if we don't allow you to do it on Shabbat, then you won't be able to do the hafara at all. And maybe that's dispensation to do the hafara on Shabbat itself. Or, lastly, maybe hafara looks a lot less like a din than hatarat nidarim. So for all those reasons, we have a question with hafarat haneder versus hatarat haneder. The Mishnah is clear that with regards to hatarat haneder, the tzorach Shabbat is put right by that. So it's clear that only the tzorach Shabbat is allowed. Shalom, the tzorach Shabbat is not allowed. The question is by hafara. And we just explained why hafara might be different than hatarat and neder. And based on that, the Gemara is asking, is that the case? So tashma, d'tani rav zuti d'bei rav papi, eimei firi nidarim el tzorach Shabbat. So here we have a braita that's brought down by rav zuti, that from the Beit Midrash of rav papi, that they are not allowed to be meifir nidarim shelo l'tzorach Shabbat. Only things that are the tzorach Shabbat. Amar rav ashi, halo tanan hochi, don't we have our Mishnah? Our Mishnah is the case, Nadraim Hashecha. She took a neder right before nightfall. Meferla Achlo Techshach. The husband has the ability to be made for that neder until nightfall. Now, the Mishnah is indicating that there's a very short fuse on this neder, because this neder is going to, Biyom Shamo, is going to expire very shortly, because she took the neder right before the end of Shabbat. The husband hears about it. And now he has moments before it's going to be nightfall. And once it becomes nightfall, he doesn't have the ability to make for the neder anymore. So now, based on this, Rav Ashi seems to be asking, the Mifaresh Rashi over here notes this, as well as the Ran, that if she's taking a neder immediately before nightfall, then you can't claim there's a Tzorach HaShabbat anymore. Because there's no Shabbat left to have Tzorach HaShabbat. So Tzorach HaShabbat is clearly not the issue. If that's the case, we're dealing with a neder that's Shalol the Tzorach Shabbat. And now it says here that's only because it's right before nightfall do you have this problem, which is that he needs to get it in before nightfall, otherwise he's out of time. V'amart, the Gemara says, L'Tzorach HaShabbat in, Shalol L'Tzorach HaShabbat lo. If we say that Hafarat Nidarim is only allowed on Shabbat when it's L'Tzorach HaShabbat, but Shalol L'Tzorach HaShabbat is not allowed at all, Ma'iriya Chashecha, why does it have to be right before nightfall? Afilu B'toch HaYom, Enyo Yochol HaAfer. He won't even be able to be made for the nether in the middle of the day. To Shalol L'Tzorach, because it's not L'Tzorach HaShabbat. So now, what the Rav Ashi is suggesting is that our Mishnah says something different than what Rav Zutti is bringing. Rav Zutti is bringing a braita that seems to indicate there's no hafara on Shabbat for things that are not Letzorach HaShabbat. If it's Shalol Letzorach HaShabbat, you can't do hafara on Shabbat. Our Mishnah seems to indicate that that's not true, because the Mishnah describes the case Shalol Letzorach Shabbat, and it says the problem here is nightfall. It's only because she took it right before nightfall, and now you're going to run out of time. That's the problem. But if you really believe that Shalol Letzorach HaShabbat is a problem all of Shabbat, then why does it have to be right before nightfall? Even if it was in the middle of the day, you would not be able to be made for the nether, because it's Shalol Letzorach Shabbat. What you see is that our Mishnah thinks that you're allowed to be made for Nedarim, even Shalol Letzorach Shabbat. So the Gemara now says, Tanayehi. It's actually a machloket Tanaim, that this stira between our Mishnah and the Braita brought by Rav Zutti is not necessarily a fundamental machloket in Hafara on Shabbat, but rather it relates to another machloket Tanaim, which we just saw, which is Hafarat Nidarim Koleyom. The Tana Kama believes that you can do Hafarat Nidim only on that day itself. Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon Amru, me'eit le'eit. You can do it for 24 hours. Lamanda Amar, according to what it says, Koleyom in Tfeilo, that you only have to be made for a neder during the daytime, but after that it expires. Afilu shalol letzorach shabbat mefer. Even if it's not letzorach shabbat, you can do hafarah, because in the end, everything becomes tzorach shabbat. Because in this case, if he isn't made for the nether now, Shabbat's going to end, and by the time Shabbat ends, he can't do the hafarah tomorrow. He doesn't have that option, because it ends that nightfall. So everything becomes tzorach shabbat, because it becomes necessary for him to deal with it today, because he has no other time to deal with it. Therefore, if you believe that the expiry is only during the daytime, and by nightfall it's over, then you have to deal with it on Shabbat, because you have no choice. On the other hand, if you say the mandamar me'eit le'eit, if you say that you have a 24-hour window in which to be made for the nidarim, the tzorach ha-shabbat in, shalom the tzorach ha-shabbat lo, then only something that's tzorach ha-shabbat would you be allowed to deal with on Shabbat itself. But something that's not the tzorach ha-shabbat, go ahead and deal with that tomorrow. You have made late. You have more time to deal with it. And since you have more time to deal with it, we're going to tell you, postpone it and deal with it at that point. Don't try to deal with it now on Shabbat when you have the opportunity to deal with it tomorrow. Made late can fall out different ways and overlap with Shabbat. You can have it that the nether was taken on Friday night, the nether was taken on Shabbat itself, and therefore the 24 hours overlap with Shabbat because it started on Shabbat, but the expiry is on Sunday, so you can deal with it after Shabbat. On the other hand, when you're dealing with the 24 hours, for instance, she took the nether on Friday, and now the 24 hours overlap with Shabbat because the expiry will be on Shabbat. So now what happens on Friday where the Baal did not take up the opportunity to be made for the nether on Friday? Does he now have a right to be made for that nether on Shabbat itself? The Rosh over here says, Aval, im nadra be'erev Shabbat, if she took the nether on Erev Shabbat, v'shama bala, and her husband heard about it, v'lo hefer la, and he didn't do the hafarah before Shabbat, mefer b'shabbat, afilu shelo letzorach Shabbat. He's allowed to do hafarah on Shabbat, even shelo letzorach Shabbat, afo pishaya yechol hafer me'etmol, even though he had the ability to do it on Friday. Ha'am reading the command, because we're going to say further on, d'nishalim ala nidarim b'shabbat, letzorach Shabbat, afilu b'nidarim shelem lishael mibod yom. Even though they had time to do it in Bodyom. So we're about to get into this question in the Gemara with regards to Hatarat Nidarim, as to whether Hatarat Nidarim is allowed on Shabbat even when they had a chance to do it on Erev Shabbat. And the Gemara is going to conclude that yes, you have the right to do it on Shabbat if it's Letzorach Shabbat. Now, what the Rosh says is, well, by Hafarat Nidarim, which is allowed both for Letzorach Shabbat and Shalol Letzorach Shabbat, then the same will be true. even though he had the opportunity to do the hafara on Friday, but he didn't take that opportunity. So now we're stuck in a position where there's an expiry on Shabbat. If he doesn't deal with it now, he won't be able to deal with it later. Therefore, the Rosh believes that that's sufficient grounds for being made fair the nether on Shabbat, even though it's shalo l'torech ha-Shabbat. So that's with regards to hafarat nedarim. The question revolves around whether you can do hafarat shalo l'torech Shabbat, revolves around whether this is your only chance to do the hafarat or not. If this is your only chance to do the hafarat, that's what gives you the right to do it even on Shabbat, even shalo l'torech Shabbat. If it's not something that's going to expire on Shabbat, or it's not necessary for you to do the hafarat on Shabbat, then we're going to tell you, if it's l'torech Shabbat, go ahead and deal with it. If it's not l'tzarech Shabbat, then we're going to tell you, wait till after Shabbat and deal with it after Shabbat. Rav Soloveitchik here in the Rishimot Shiurim suggests that the way that the Gemara is explaining this machloket is not like what we just suggested now, which is it has to do with whether he has the ability to do it on Chol, and therefore why do it on Shabbat, do it on Chol, or whether he doesn't have the ability to do it. But rather it relates to, he tries to explain this within the sheet of the Rambam himself. The Rambam before said the reason you can't do Atarat Nidarim on Shabbat is because it's Mimtso Chetzucha V'Derer Davar. It's a Maisei Chol. It's like acting like you do on Chol on Shabbat. The things that are the Tzorach Shabbat and things that are what he calls Mitzvah to be Matir, those you're allowed to do on Shabbat. And so what Rav Soloveitchik suggests is when the Gemara says Tanae over here, it depends on the extent of the neder, or the time period of the neder. If the hafarat neder is only allowed on Shabbat itself, because you believe B'yom Shamo means just the daytime, that means that the entirety of the period of time of hafarat is on Shabbat. So you no longer can call that a maiseh chol, because it's not something that could be done on chol. It's something that can be done solely on Shabbat. And therefore, it only is a Maisa Shabbat, and that's why you're allowed to do the Hafarah on Shabbat, ben l'tzorech ha-Shabbat, ben shalo l'tzorech ha-Shabbat. On the other hand, if you believe that the nether goes mi-eight le-eight, which means that it's a 24-hour period, by definition, those 24 hours most definitely will fall out on a weekday as well. And that means there's a possibility of Hafarah on Chol, and a possibility of Hafarah on Shabbat. But then it makes it into a Maisa Chol. And since it's a Maisach Chol, we won't allow you to do on Shabbat when it's Shalol, the Tzorech HaShabbat. Which will turn out to mean that according to the Rambam, unlike what the Rosh says over here, if the Me'id Leid began on Friday, and then the Baal didn't take advantage of it, and now it's Shabbat, according to the Rambam, he says you would not be able to do Hafarah on Shabbat, because it's a Maisach Chol. You had the chance to do it on Chol, you have a chance to do it on Shabbat, you didn't take up the opportunity to do it on Chol, now you can't do it on Shabbat, because it's a Maisach Chol. So unlike the Rosh, what Rav Soloveitchik suggests is that the Rambam believes that no matter when the eighth late is, when it's either overlaps because it started before Shabbat, or overlaps because it extends beyond Shabbat, in either of those instances, the Baal would not be able to be made for on Shabbat, Shalol L'Tzorach Shabbat, because it's a Maisa Chol. If, on the other hand, you believe B'yom Shamo means just the daytime of that day, then it's only a Maisa Shabbat. And if it's a Maisa Shabbat, then you don't have to worry about this issue of Maisa Chol, and you can't be made for whether it's L'Tzorach, Shalol L'Tzorach. It's a different reason for why this machloket relates to what we're speaking about over here. Now, for instance, what you're asking, what happens if you have Yom Tov that falls out either on Friday or on Sunday, and therefore the 24 hours now overlaps with Shabbat and Yom Tov, and what would be the situation in that case? So in that case, according to everybody, you should be able to be made fair, because if you explain it like we did before, simply like the Ran explains and the Rosh explains it over here, which is that you have the opportunity to do it on Chol, why would you do it on Shabbat? That's not true now. You have an opportunity only to do it on Shabbat or Yom Tov, so you don't have a choice anymore. You've got to do it now, and therefore it would allow the Hafarah to happen. And the same would be true of the Rav Soloveitchik's explanation of the Rambam, which is that if it overlaps with Chol and Shabbat, then it becomes a Maisa Chol. Over here, it's not overlapping with Chol. It's overlapping with Yom Tov and Shabbat. So it's only overlapping on days that are days of Kedusha. So therefore, it doesn't become a Maisa Chol anymore. It's only a Maisa of Shabbat or Maisa of Kedusha, like Shabbat and Yom Tov, and therefore it would be allowed. That's what I would think that you would have to say in those cases where it's adjacent, a Yom Tov is adjacent either before or after. Right now the Gemara says, Yibailu. This is what the Rosh was referencing. Kishalo ayalem p'nai, odilma kishayalem p'nai. When we say over here that Hatarat Nidarim is allowed on Shabbat, is that only true when they had no other option to do it before Shabbat? Either because there wasn't sufficient time, she took the neder right before Shabbat, or they couldn't find a Chacham to deal with it on Erev Shabbat. So that's why now they're stuck doing it on Shabbat. Or do we say this, even if they had the opportunity to do it on Erev Shabbat, But since it's the Torah Shabbat, we're going to allow you to do the Atarat Neder on Shabbat because it's a Torah Shabbat, even if you had a chance to do it beforehand. Tashma. Let us bring a proof from this. This Kiko Le Rabbanan the Braid, the Rav Zutra, Braid, the Rav Zeira, Afilu Bid Nidarim Shelem Penai Min Bod Yom, that the Chachamim dealt with Nidarim of the son of Rav Zutra, Braid, the Rav Zeira, even on things that he could have dealt with before Shabbat. So here we see evidence of the fact that even when you had the opportunity to deal with it before Shabbat, we still will allow you to deal with it on Shabbat and be matir the nether on Shabbat because it's Sarach HaShabbat. So that's what the Rosh brought as his proof that Hafarah should work the same way. Even though you had a chance to do the Hafarah on Erev Shabbat, you should still be allowed to do it on Shabbat itself if you didn't take advantage of that opportunity to do it before Shabbat. So now the Gemara says, Savar of Yosef the Meimar. Rav Yosef thought to say, Ish alin nidarim b'shabbat b'yachid mumche. You're only allowed to do hatarat neder if you do it through a single individual who is a mumche. B'shlosha hejotot. On the other hand, if you get three people, like we do on Erev Hashanah, to sit down, shlosha hejotot, in order to be matar neder, lo. That we weren't allowed. Mishum demitchaze kedino. Because it looks like you're putting together a beitin. So even though technically, Nidarim is not anything like Beit Din, and we're going to see that in the upcoming Gemaras, and it's not like a regular Din. Nevertheless, what Rav Yosef suggests over here is that it looks, it has the appearance of a Din, because you're bringing Shlosha Hedyoto together. So even though it's not a Din, and even though it's actually not necessary for you to have three people, because you can have one in the Chatchila, that's fine, but because it looks like a Din, we're not going to allow you to do it on Shabbat. On the other hand, when it comes to Yachid Mumche, where there's no question you're not going to mix this up with a regular din, and it doesn't look anything like a regular Beit Din over there, we're not going to stop you from doing it on Shabbat. Now, underlying this is that din on Shabbat is problematic. That's based on the Mishnah and Beitzah that ain't danim b'Shabbat, where most Mishonim explain is because we're afraid you're going to write. Because din usually involves writing. And therefore, we don't want you to have din on Shabbat because, in all likelihood, that will end up with writing on Shabbat. I think Yushalmi brings another problem, which is that we ain't ma'anshin, can't give on a shim on Shabbat. And therefore, that negates the ability to deal with many of these cases on Shabbat. And therefore, we don't allow any din on Shabbat. But the underlying premise is that there's no din on Shabbat. So now, Hatarat Nidarim, how does that relate to a regular din or a regular beit din? So what Rav Yosef suggests is, when you're using a Yad Yichid Mumche, it looks nothing like a regular beit din, and therefore, you know, you could do it on Shabbat, and do Hashalat Chacham Hatarat Nidar on Shabbat. On the other hand, if you're dealing with Shlosha Hejotot, even though in reality it's not a din, but nevertheless it looks too much like a din, then we're going to say you can't do it on Shabbat. So now, Abaye, his Talmud, Amalei Abaye, Kevin Desvirlan Afilu Me'umad. Since we hold that you're allowed to do Hatarat Nidarim, even standing up. Afilu Bikrovim, even with relatives. Va'afilu Balaylo, and even at night. Mitro Mitchaze Kedina. It doesn't look like a din anymore. What Abaye says over here is, Hatarat Nidarim is nothing like a regular din. When you come to a regular din, or we call it Yeshivat Beit Din, if you put together a Beit Din, and you have a Beit Din that's going to adjudicate a case, we'll call that Yeshivat Beit Din, then there are certain rules. One of those rules is you have to sit down. You have to sit down to listen, benachat, to focus. You do what's called Tifat HaRosh. You cover your heads. You do a B'Kovid Rosh. The Shekhinah is present. You have only to do it during the day. That's a limo the Gemara Baba Batra discusses about Yerusha. B'Yom is the only time that you can do that, and therefore Din can only be started or only be dealt with during the day. And can't have relatives. I mean that you can't have a relative sit on the Beit Din of an individual is being adjudicated. So because we waive all of these items with regards to Hatarat Nidarim, it's very clear that Hatarat Nidarim is not functioning like a regular case of Beit Din or a Moshav Beit Din. And so because of that, Abaye suggests that the same should be true on Shabbat. Forget about three people sitting down, mitchazek kedina, it looks like a din. It doesn't look anything like a din. It functions on a totally different plane than a din. And the way that Rav Soloveitchik formulates it is that there's a difference between a din and what we call iser v'heter or hora'ah, which is that, for instance, if someone comes to ask you if an item is kasher or not kasher, they bring you a chicken, they bring you a treifa to check it out. Over there, there's no rule that you can't be a relative of the individual. Even a relative of the individual can give a psak halacha as to whether something's treif or not treif. Why is that? Because your psak halacha relates to the chetza, to the object, and not to the person. The dayan, as we'll call him, or the rov, who's looking at the treifa, is giving a psak halacha about that bird or about that treifa. He's not giving a psak halacha to this particular individual, and that's why relatives don't matter in that case. And the same is true with the issue of Lila. This is not an adjudication. This is a hora'ah about something. And therefore, you can do it even at night. And mu'umad, also, when you give it up psak halacha, person can do it standing. It's not a din in Moshe Beit Din. So because you lack this din in Moshe Beit Din, plus, by hatarat nidarim, what the Soloveitchik suggests is that it's the same thing as Isur v'heter, which is the psak halacha of the Beit Din of hatarat neder is not focused on the individual, but rather on the neder. It's whether this neder is mutar or asur, meaning that is the neder in effect, or are we taking the neder out? And since it doesn't relate to the individual in particular, therefore even krovim can be on the Beit Din, all the requirements of Beit Din don't apply over here. And so because of that, what the Abaye is suggesting is that this is not din, this is hora'ah. And since it's hora'ah and not din, you don't have to worry about any of the trappings of Beit Din, and it never looks like a Beit Din, and therefore you can do it on Shabbat even if you use 3 hedjotot. So now, if you remember back at the beginning of the Gemara, we suggested that the Rosh says that this Gemara doesn't belong over here. If you say that, like our Gersa and our Gemara, is that Ein Halacha Kehoto Azug, then that story of Chir Barav and that story of Rabba Baravuna don't belong over there because they don't seem to have any connection. The Rosh says they belong right here because now it makes a lot of sense. And that's what the Rosh brings down over here. He says, Kan Ra'oili Gross. Says, this is where you should put in that piece of the Gemara. Hadichtiv be'el, chir barav, shodi gira, ubodi. So he says, haya morechitzim, ubodeket aneder, im nitchareta al nidro. He used to shoot the arrows and see whether the person was mitcharet. Why? Because it's not like a din. A din would require you to sit down, be yeshiva, tifat arosh, and so on and so forth. But chir barav didn't treat hatarat nedarim like a din. Therefore, he stood up, he shot his arrows, he did whatever he wanted to do. The Svirle, afilu me'umad, potchim b'charata, koldu. Even standing up, you can be poteach b'charata. Ve'in tzarich nimtso petach nidro, and you have to find something, a petach neder. Hilchach haya mitasek b'dvarim acherim. B'sha'a, shaya matir neder. Therefore, he used to do other things while he was being matir the neder. Ke'in yitzorech yeshuva dadat. Doesn't need yeshuva dadat. Al derech harai, haya matir. He did it like half. I would say haphazardly, but he did it without putting a lot of focus or concentration on it. Vitagarsi, some say share nidra ubodik. Perishaya matir neder ubodik sakin. That it wasn't shadi gear, but he was being matir neder while he was checking a knife for treifus, to check that the knife was smooth. So he was doing other things while he was being matir the neder. Rabba, he has the girsi of Rabba Viravuna. We are girsi's Rabba Baravuna. Habiyotiv vikoyim. Perishaya yushevo made. He didn't worry about sitting down focused. So the Rosh says that those two cases now belong over here. It makes a lot of sense. The Gemara here is talking about the fact that Nidarim do not require the regular trappings of Beit Din or don't have the requirements of a Beit Din. And the stories of Chir Barav and Rabba Ravuna prove that fact because they were Matir Nidarim in ways that you normally would not conduct an adjudication. So Amar Rabbi Avam Ravuna Amar Rav. Halacha mefirim nedarim belailo. The halacha is that you're allowed to be mefir neder at night. V'ha matznitini. Isn't that our Mishnah? Nadra belele Shabbat. That it says over there, she takes a neder on the night of Shabbat, that you're allowed to be mefir the neder. So it sounds like you can do hafarat nedarim at night. Ela ema halacha nishalim belailo. Not that you do hafarat nedarim at night, but rather, you do hatarat nedarim at night. So, Amar Lei Rabbi Avo the Rav Huna, Amar Rav Hachi. Did Rav really say this? So, Amar Lei Ishtik. Rav was silent. So, Amar Lei Ishtik Amart, Oshtik Amart. So, here you have different explanations. Rashi's explanation over here is, was he really silent or was he drinking? Meaning that when Rav Huna brings this memra from Rav, Rabbi Ava asks him, when you say that Rav was silent, was Rav silent because somebody raised this issue? And he was silent because he thought that that was the halacha? Or was he silent because he was in the middle of drinking? And since he was in the middle of drinking, he couldn't answer. And you walked out before he finished drinking. So maybe the reason he didn't answer was because he was in the middle of drinking, and maybe there's nothing to be garnered from your fact that you think your ishtik, that he was silent. So that's the way Rashi explains it. The Ran and others explain over here that ishtik o ashkian. Did he drink or was he silent? Ishtik means he was silent because he didn't agree with it. Or ashkian means that he drank to it. He says, yeah, I think you're right. Let's drink to that. It's as if a approval of what the statement was. It says, how was Rav's behavior? Was his behavior one that said, ishkoyach, yes, I think you're right? Or ishtik, he was silent and he was basically disagreeing with the person by not acknowledging their question or not acknowledging their statement. That's one read to read this Gemara. There's an alternate girsa in the Gemara that eliminates the words Amar Rabbi Av Amar Rav Huna, and according to this girsa, it seems you dropped the words Amar Rav. They would not be in here. Halacha mefirim nidarim b'layla. Then the Gemara asks about the Mishnah, and they say Halacha nishalim b'layla. So then Rabbi Ava queries for Rav Huna, girsa you leave at Amalei Ishtik. Rav Huna doesn't respond and say what Rav said. But rather, Rav Huna says to Rabbi Ava, Amrle ishtik amart, o shtik amart. Are you asking me this question because you disagree? Are you asking me this question because you want to say, so you were asking me the question, did Rav really say this because you want to tell me you're wrong? Or are you asking me, did Rav really say this because you think it's right? And that was the question. Rav Huna is posing the question back to Rabbi Ava, asking why is Rabbi Ava questioning Rav Huna's statement about Meferim Nidarim Balayla? According to this latter explanation, then the next piece of the Gemara would not begin Tashma, but rather as an interdependent statement of Amar of Ika. On the other hand, if we are looking for an understanding of what Rav said based on the questioning beforehand, then we could say Tashma, because now the statement of Ika is going to prove to us what the opinion of Rav is. So Amar of Ika Bar Avin is Dakik Le Rav Le Rabba Bikituna the Bay Rav Omeid Yechidi Ubalailo. So here's the answer to the question, which is, Rav Ika Bar Avin brings down that Rav dealt with Rabba, Bikituna, the Bay Rav. Now, the way the Ran translates Bikituna is Becheder Shel Beit HaMidrash. Sounds like it was in the Beit Midrash itself. The Rosh over here says that the Kituna means a Cheder, a small room. So maybe it was a room that was adjacent to the Beit Midrash, or a room in Rav's house. Others suggest it was Rav's little space or room adjacent to the Beit Midrash where he learned. And over there, Rav was matir the neder, omeid, standing up, yechidi alone, ubalayla, and at night. So all of those prove that what Rav Huna was saying over in the name of Rav, which is Rav believes that you can do hatarat chacham even at night, and you can do hatarat chacham standing up, and it doesn't require all the trappings of a Beit Din. Amar Rabba Amar of Nachman, halocha nishalim nidarim, omeid yechidi ubalayla. Ubishabbat, ubikrovim, vafilo ayelem panai, mibodjom. So here you have Rav Nachman bringing down the halacha, which is Rabba, in the name of Rav Nachman says, the halacha is that we do hatarat nidarim, standing up, alone, at night, even on Shabbat, ubikrovim, even with relatives, a relative can do this, vafilo ayelem panai, mibodjom. And even if you had time to do it before Shabbat, we still allow you to do it on Shabbat. Again, the assumption here being that it is Litzorach HaShabbat. So here we see that you don't have any of those requirements of Beit Din. Gemara says, Omei, are you really allowed to do Atarat Nidarim standing up? Vatanya, don't we have a Braita? Yared Rabbi Gamliel Minachamor. Somebody wanted to be Matir Neder. Rabbi Gamliel got off his donkey. Vinita Teif, he wrapped himself up. V'yashav V'hitirlo Nidro. And he sat down and did Atarat Nidarim for this individual. Rabbi Gamliel over here is simulating what someone would do as a dayan in the Beit Din, which is you wrap your head, it's kovid rosh, take things seriously, a lot of focus, the inyan of the Shekhinah being present, and you sit down. All of these things, which are something you would see in a Beit Din, that's how Rabbi Gamliel acted with this individual to be matir neder. So you're seeing here, the Gemara is challenging this idea, according to Rav Nachman, that the loch is that you can do hatarat nidarim standing up. How could that be the case? Rabbi Gamliel sat down and treated like a Beit Din. So now the Gemara answers, and we have a girsa in our Gemara, but most of the Rishonim argue that the girsa should be just the opposite. We have the girsa of the Mefaresh of Rashi over here, so we'll explain it according to that, and then we'll explain the girsa according to most of the others. Which is the Gemara says, Rabbi Gamliel savar, potchim b'charata mi'akra nidra bi'inan ubayi yune ahachi yosho, that you're allowed to be potach b'charata. You're allowed to use harata as a method or a means for being matter the neder. And even Rashi explained, or the Mefarish explained earlier in the Masechta, potrei means we even open with it. The Chacham is allowed to even introduce this issue of harata in order to undermine the neder. Since you require harata, you have to look into it carefully. Therefore, he sat down. So what the Mefarish Rashi explains over here is that when it comes to harata, we have to be very suspect of the person saying, yeah, I regret it. Because we know he wants to get out of the nether. And so he's going to say, I regret it very easily. And we have to clarify whether he's really saying this because he means to have harata, or he's just saying this to get out of the nether, or because someone told him, if you say that, you're going to get out of the nether. So therefore, it requires a little more depth of understanding, perspective, and concentration, focus on what this individual is saying to make sure that they really are mitcharet. And that's why Rabbi Gamliel sat down. On the other hand, Rav Nachman Savar, ein potchim b'charata, that we don't use charata, and therefore you don't have to look into this issue because we're not worried about a person misusing the charata because you can't use it at all. You have to use a petach the neder. It says you have to use a petach the neder. That's something that's only going to be true if there really is a petach the neder. We're not dealing with charata regret in this case. And therefore, according to him, vafilu mi'umad. That's why you're allowed to do it standing. So that's the way Rashi explains this Gemara over here. You look in the Ran, he says, Hachi Garsinan. The Ran brings an alternate girsa. The Rosh has an alternate girsa. Almost every one of the Rishonim has an alternate girsa, which is just the opposite. Which is, Rabbi Gamliel Savar, ain't potchim b'charata. You can't use charata as the vehicle for being matir the neder. And you have to find a petach. When we have to find a petach, that requires a lot more effort and investigation and focus in order to find a petach the neder. And that's why Rabbi Gamliel sat down. Other than Rav Nachman believes, potchim b'charata. You can deal with charata. If a person regrets the nether, charata, that's sufficient grounds for him to the nether. And that's very easy to come around to it. It's very easy to get to charata, and therefore you didn't need a lot of depth of investigation, understanding, and that's why he did it mi'umad. So again, that's just the opposite of what Rashi says. Then the Ran over here quotes the Rashba, who says, Dilidan, according to us, the Kaimlan potchim b'charata, we paskin that you're allowed to use charata as a petach the neder. Then he says, Kevan de mikara de milta potchim b'charata, below being in your shape, and we don't need to sit down. Afilo no nit charet, vanon tzrichim lachzar achar ptachim, atiro lo bay yoshev. So what he says is, because now we've established the fact that we are poteach b'charata, and that means that the dayan does not need to sit down in order to be matir the neder, that carries through even if charata is not the vehicle for being matir the neder. Even if he has to go to a petach the neder in order to be matir the neder, we still allow him to remain standing. He doesn't have to sit down. And the Ran says about that, Ufishlo yirati letamo, eni omer kein. I don't understand what he's saying, and therefore I don't say it. What the Ran is saying is, it's clear from the Gemara over here, that charata can be done standing up because it doesn't require any effort or understanding or depth of understanding. Whereas petach the neder requires a lot more investment. And therefore you need to sit down to focus and to deal with it. So the Ran says it's irrespective of how we paskin, whether you paskin potrim the charata or ain't potrim the charata, whatever you are doing governs. We paskin potrim the charata. So if you use charata, then you're not going to have to sit down. If you're going to use a petach le neder, you have to sit down and deal with it like you would deal with a petach le neder. On the other hand, the Rashba believes, the Ran says he doesn't understand it, but you could understand the position of the Rashba, but the Rashba says that once we've determined already that hatarat nidarim can be done through charata, you've basically decided that hatarat nidarim is nothing to do with a din. It's not a Moshe Beit Din. It's not something that has those requirements. And since it doesn't have those requirements, that'll carry through whether you do it through charata, whether you do it through a petach the neder. Even though petach the neder requires more effort and more concentration, we're not going to demand that you sit down and you deal with it in that manner because we've already established that hatarat neder is not of the same ilk as regular dinim. And since it's not that case, we're not going to force you to sit down. If you want to sit down, you'll sit down, like by Isser Veheter. You want to give the psak standing up, you give it standing up. If you need to focus and sit down, you can sit down and focus. But we're not going to force you, we're not going to compel you to do that. They have this machloket in the Rishonim as to once we paskin the potchim b'charata, how far do we take that? Do we say now that all hatarat nidarim don't require sitting down? Or the Ran would suggest over here that that's only true when you use the vehicle of Charata. Use another vehicle that requires more concentration, then you'd have to sit down in order to deal with it. And now the Gemara continues with the story. What this story has to do with the previous Gemara depends on what we just explained in the previous Gemara. Rashi, who says the previous Gemara talks about potchim b'charata and potchim b'charata, means whether you have to focus because charata, you have to really check it out. This is what the question or the tmiyah of the Gemara is, which is, Amalei Rava the Rav Nachman, Chazi Mar Haimer Rabbona and the Atami Marava. Did you see that Rabbona that came from Eretz Yisrael from the west? V'amar is Tkiko Le Rabbona the Braid Rav Huna Bar Avin, that they were Matir Neder for the son of Rav Huna Bar Avin, Bishorle Nidre, and they were Matir as Neder, Ramalei Zielu Bay Rachmel Nafsheikh, the Chatat. And the way they did it was to say to him, listen, you need to go and ask Daven to Hashem for Rachamim because of what you did. The Tani Rav Dimi Achua the Rav Safra, because they have a Braita that was brought down by Rav Dimi, this brother of Rav Safra, Kolonu Der, Afu Bishu Mikaimo Nikrachote, that anybody who takes a nether, and even if they keep the nether and they uphold the nether, they're still called a sinner. Because I'm a Rav Zvi, my Kra, what's the pasuk that proves that? Because it says, V'chitech dalindor lo yebechachet. If you don't take a nether, you won't have any sins. V'chitech dalindor, if you stop taking nedarim, lo yebechachet. You don't have to worry about having any sins because you didn't take a nether. Halo chadalta. If you didn't stop, ikachet. Then there is a chet, just by the mere fact that you took the nether. And you're mekayim the nether, there's a chet. So basically what they were saying to him is, are you sure you want to take this nether? How can you take, you really want to take a nether where you're called a choteh and it's considered to be a mekayim at the nether is a choteh? And they use that to generate the charata. So now, why was Rava so surprised about this? Well, according to the way Rashi explained it, it connects to the previous Gemara, which is that the fact that by potchim b'charata, we require you to sit down, like Rav Gamliel, and focus and make sure people really are mitcharet, they really have regret. If you use something like this, it's like a generic type of statement that makes a person have regret. Who's not going to say they have regret after a generic thing like this? So that was Rova's tmiyah. The Rav Nachman is, look, they're using charata, but they're using it in a generic way. They're not focused on it. They're not trying so hard to figure out whether he really means it or doesn't mean it. They use this issue of calling him a choteh. So that's how we would continue according to Rashi. On the other hand, according to the other Rishonim, who explained just the opposite, the Gemara just brought this down at Gav Gerara, which is that they just brought this down to tell us the story that they were potchim b'charata in these places, and that was sufficient grounds for being matir the neder. And as the Rosh says over here, he comes to teach you, kama heimik bidim on nudre nidarim. How strongly they felt about people who took nidarim that they were called chutim. And that's what it's coming to teach you, that in Eretz Yisrael, they were so against nidarim that they called people chutim. So it seems that this practice of nidarim, according to this, was more prevalent in Bavel. And maybe they were even more accepting of this practice, where in Eretz Yisrael, they dismissed the practice completely and they called people who did it chutim. So that's what Rava was surprised about, how strong a stance that they took in Eretz Yisrael against Nidarim, or how strongly they felt about Nidarim versus what was going on in Bavel. One other thing to note over here is the Gemara over here says that Hatarat Nidarim does not require all the trappings of a Beit Din. That means you can stand up, you can have Krovim, you can have done at night. What the Gemara never mentions is, can a woman do Hatarat Nidarim? Now, Rabbi Kiva Eger suggests that a woman cannot do Hatarat Nidarim. But if there's no requirement of Beit Din, and all the other things are waived, why is it that the woman over here cannot do Hatarat Nidarim? The answer to that might lie in the Hatara of the Psulim over here. We know that the reason that a Karov is not allowed to be on Beit Din is Gzerat HaKatuv. The Gemara in Baba Batra discusses it as Gzerat HaKatuv. Now, it would be easy to explain that you can't have a karov here because he's nogea b'davar. The person is biased in dealing with the Beit Din, and therefore we wouldn't light a karov on. But the Gemara there asks, but we know that Moshe and Aaron weren't allowed to be krovim to each other and allowed to work that. We don't have any suspicion that Aaron and Moshe were going to be nogea b'davar. And therefore, the Rashbam over there concludes that the din of krovim or psulim of krovim is a gzerat hakatuv, something to do with the din. So what you could suggest over here is that the psulim that we waive by Hatarat Nedarim that deal with din are issues that are specific to the din, but not things that are inherently psulim. So a karov is not inherently pasul. He's pasul because we have a gzerta katuv by dinim that krovim are not allowed. Gzerta katuv, you can only have a beit din during the day, not at night. Gzerta katuv, that the beit din sits down, or the proper way to deal with it is sitting down, not standing up. All of those items which are unique to a beit din are issues that are particular to a Moshe beit din, but not things that are inherently pasul or things that create inherent psulim in the din. And so because of that, when it comes to Atarat Nedarim, we can waive all of those items. Or the way that he formulates it in a more nuanced manner is that things that have to do with the psul of Moshe beit din are things that are waived when it comes to Atarat Nedarim. But things that are deal with the din itself, the Chaluta din, those still remain in place even by Atarat Nedarim. And therefore, things like Krovim and Shabbat, which deal with Moshe Beit Din. You're not allowed to have a Moshe Beit Din on Shabbat. It's not that you can't have a din. You can't have a Moshe Beit Din on Shabbat. It's not that Krovim are inherently Pasul the Din. It's that they can't be amongst the Moshe Beit Din. So all of those items where you have Hatzrat Nedarim doesn't include a Moshe Beit Din. Therefore, they are Mutarim. On the other hand, items that have to do with Chaluta Din, things that have not Moshe Beit Din, but the Din in general, like a woman who is Pasul, the din, those will carry over to Atarat Nedarim and still remain there even in the case of Atarat Nedarim. We cannot say that when it comes to Atarat Nedarim, all of a sudden the woman would be mutar to do the Atarat Nedarim because her inability to be part of the Beit Din is not a gzirat hakatuv, but something that is inherent to dinim, which is that women aren't empowered to give hora'ah and they're not empowered to adjudicate in a Beit Din. And for that reason, the inability for a woman to have Beit Din would not all of a sudden be waived when it comes to Atarat Nedarim. Even by Atarat Nedarim, that psul of Isha will remain intact. And therefore, Rav Soloveitchik suggests that's maybe the reasoning behind Rabbi Akiva Eger's position, that even though we're waiving all these other psulim when it comes to Atarat Nedarim, that we wouldn't necessarily waive that with regards to an Isha, with regards to a woman. Okay, now the Gemara continues and says, Tanya, Haomer Lishto, Kol nidorim shetidori, e efshi shetidori. Any nether that you will take, I have no interest in you taking it. Now, I'm going to go through this brayta according to the way that some of the Rishonim explain it. And then we'll come back and see the alternate way to explain it, which seems to me to be the more simple way to explain it. And the way that the Mefaresh explains it over here. And many of the Rishonim, including the Ran, brings another alternative like that. I'll explain why some of the Rishonim like the Girsa or the way that we're going to explain it now. That a person who says to his wife that any neder that you take in the future, I have no interest in it. I don't want it to work. Right? This is about lo amaklum. That doesn't do anything. The implications are, or the indications are, that they're talking about a kiyuma neder. A woman took a neder, and how is the husband mekayim the neder? So one way that he could be mekayim the neder is taking an inference what he says. He says now that any neder you take in the future, I don't want it to be, I have no interest in it. That implies that whatever she took beforehand was fine with him. And so that's what the Breita wanted to suggest. Maybe that's called kiyum neder when you do this, because by indicating in the future you don't like it, you implicitly think that whatever happened in the past was fine. So then the Breita says about lo maklum. On the other hand, if he says, yafe asit, nice job, vein kamotech, there's no one like you, honey, vim lo nadart, madireich, ani, had you not done this, I would have done it for you. Devarav kayamim. Then there is kiyuma neder. So what those Rishonim say is, the entire Breita is talking about kiyuma neder, and it's giving you ways where kiyuma neder works, and it's giving you ways that kiyuma neder doesn't work. So one way to make it work is if you just give some sort of positive accolation to the wife, that's enough to be called kiyuma neder. On the other hand, if it's drawn through an inference or an implicit part of your statement, that's not called kiyuma neder. Now, the simpler way to explain the Breita is that the Breita is talking about two different things. It's talking about hafara and hakama. And in the beginning of the Breita, it's giving you examples of lishonot that are for hafara, for nullifying the nether, that do not work. And similar language by hakamat the nether that does work. And that's what's being said here. Tanya, Homer lishto, kol nederim shetidori, yev shishetidori. Any nether that you take, I have no interest in it. Now over here, you could either suggest that the language which is written in the future tense, the Ran says, is talking about Rabbi Eliezer's opinion that we saw before in the Mishnah, which Rabbi Eliezer believes that you can preemptively negate your wife's nidarim. And this is according to his opinion, where you're trying to do it preemptively, that it doesn't work when you use this language. That's one possibility. Or the other possibility is that we find many times that the lashon that's used in the future also applies to the past. And he's phrasing it this way, but he means really to indicate that it's also related to the past. And he's basically trying to be made for the neder through saying Efshi, or ein ze neder, or he uses the language of this is not a neder, lo amar klum. He didn't say anything. I mean, if that's the way that he's made for the neder, it fails. And that's a failure of hafarat the neder. On the other hand, if he's mekayim the neder with this type of language, I mean, obviously on the positive side, yafeh asit, ben kamotech, vim lo nadart, madirechani, devarav kayamim. And what the Brita is suggesting is that there's an imbalance over here. That the requirements or the threshold for hafarah are much higher than the threshold for kiyum neder. And it makes a lot of sense, because hafarat the neder is you're trying to now nullify what someone else put in place. His wife took a neder, and now through your action, you're trying to negate or neutralize what she did. There you need to have a strong articulation of exactly what you're trying to do in order to be hafarah. These lighter, or we call them lashon gruot, as the Ran says, don't work. Efshi, ein ze neder, that doesn't work. On the other hand, if by kiyuma neder, where all you're doing is acquiescing to what she's doing, you're upholding something that's already in place to keep the status quo, there requires a much lower threshold, and therefore if you just compliment her or give her some accolades, that's sufficient to be termed a kiyuma neder. Now, obviously this is a much simpler way to explain the bright that makes more sense. Why these rishonim, or other rishonim, changed it to have the bright only speaking about hafarat the neder and differentiating between lishonot is because of the upcoming gemara. Which is, lo yomar adam li'ishto b'shabbat, mufar laichi, batil laichi. A person should not say explicitly on Shabbat to his wife when he wants to be made for the neder, the way that he would do it on a weekday, which is mufar laichi, it is nullified, batil laichi, it is negated, kederach shomer la b'chol, like the way that he says on a weekday, elo omer la, he says to her, tli v'achli, if she took the neder not to eat, he says, zot, take it and eat it, tli v'shti, go ahead and take it and drink it. Van neder batel me'elav. And the neder is negated by itself. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, b'tzarich, shivatel b'libo. And he has to do the bitol, or the hafarat the neder, in his heart. Tanyo. Beit Shammai omrim, b'shabbat mivatel b'libo. On Shabbat, you have to do the bitol, or the hafarat the neder, in your heart. B'chol motzi b'sfatav. On a weekday, you articulate it. U'beit Hillel omrim, echad ze v'echad ze. Doesn't matter whether it's a weekday, or if it is Shabbat. Mivatel b'libo. You can do the betala in the lev, ain't tzarech lotzi b'sfatav. You don't have to articulate what you are saying here or the hafara over here. So now, going back to the previous braita. If the previous braita was talking about hafara, like we suggested, the easiest way to explain the braita is that the first half is hafara, the second half is kiyum, then you run yourself into what looks like a stira over here. Over there, the braita suggests, if you say efshi, oh, ain't zeneder, it doesn't work. Then all of a sudden, we have Beit Hillel here and Rabbi Yochanan saying that if you're mevatel b'lev, it's enough. So now you have a Gemara saying that if you just in your heart are mevatel or made for the neder, that's sufficient. Oh, if you say efshi, and if you say ein ze neder, that doesn't work. That seems to be incongruous. How could it be that when you do it in your heart, it works, and when you articulate it, it doesn't work? So that didn't make any sense, and that's why many of those Rishonim changed the Braita to say that the book Braita was talking about kiyum. And had nothing to do with hafarah, because otherwise, it can't be reconciled with the upcoming Gemara. On the other hand, we have the Rishonim over here, a number of Rishonim that deal with it. We'll deal with the Ran's Shita first. The Ran over here says that there's a difference. There's a difference about what type of language he used. He says that hafarat and neder has a higher threshold, and requires articulation of the hafarah. It requires you to state clearly the hafarah. So now you have different choices about how to go about doing that. He says, if you lose what he calls a strong lashon, use a proper type of hafarah, like mufar laichi or batel laichi, that works no problem. On the other hand, if you use what he calls a lashon garua, something that is of a lesser strength, is not as clear a type of hafarah, then only if you are mitzareif. If you add to that the bitul belev, which is really hafara belev, does it work? So basically what he says is that the hafara belev can compensate for a subpar language. If you use proper language for the hafarah, that's the articulation that we want, and that works. Mufalaychi, batilaychi, that is done, because you used a full, articulate, clear message that the neder is mufar. There you don't need anything else. On the other hand, if you use the lotion like efshi or ein zeh neder, that is not a clear language of hafarah. It's not a clear articulation that you're being made for the neder, and therefore it fails. And in our case over here on Shabbat, what he does is he uses a lashon garua, which is tli vachli, tli ushti. And then he says, when you add to that the hafarah belev, that hafarah belev compensates for the lack of clear articulation of the farat and neder in order to make it into a strong enough hafarah. So basically what the Ron is suggesting over here is that the higher threshold can be met in one of two ways. The higher threshold can be met by a clear articulation, which is the mufalaychi or batilaychi, or it can be met by the combination of a weaker language that is bolstered by the hafarah belev. Now, why you need the articulation when you have the hafarah belev is questionable. You could argue that it's either because you require hafla'ah, which is that hafarat ha-neder, it's not enough simply to make a statement or to be made for the neder. It has to be on par with like a neder. Just like a neder requires hafla'ah, which is articulation and speaking it out clearly, so too hafarah requires an oral transmission of it and a clear articulation of it. So that can be done either through a clear language or it can be done by compensating the unclear language with what you're feeling or making clear within your heart in that sense that what you're trying to do with that language. The other possibility is that the articulation of the hafarah is only so that the woman knows that the neder is mufar. So if you say mufalaychi or you say batilaychi, the woman clearly knows that the neder is gone, and that also functions to wipe out the neder. On the other hand, if you use a weaker language, the lashon garua does is inform the woman that the neder is mufar. But that's not sufficient to be made for the neder. What's made for the neder is belief, does in the heart. So that's one way to reconcile between the braita and what we see over here. That's the shita of the Ran. The Rosh over here quotes the Ritz Geut and brings a different version, which is when we say over here that mevato belibo, it doesn't literally mean in his heart. Mevato belibo is the same way that you say by Kriyat Shema, that you have to say it. Hishmialos no, which is that you have to say it, but not loud enough that other people can hear it, but loud enough that you can hear it. And therefore, what the Ritz Geut says is you need articulation, you need clear articulation. And that is accomplished on Shabbat by you saying it in an undertone, which is, you say it in an undertone, that creates the hafarat neder. Ah, how do you inform the woman that you've done the hafarat neder? That you say, tli v'shti, tli v'achli. So therefore you separate the issues, but you're still clearly articulating. Doing the belave doesn't do anything. And that's why the efshi before the neder doesn't work, because it's a lashon garua. Over here you're saying mufalaychi or batilaychi. You're saying it in an undertone. You hear it, and you articulate it, and that's enough. Ah, now you have to inform the woman, you tell her tli achli v'tli shti. But the case of efshi or ein zeh neder, your articulation is not a hafarah because you didn't articulate the proper language. That's how the Ritz Geut says it. The Rambam has a very interesting sheet over here, and this will somewhat relate to the question that you just asked. The Rambam in the Perusha Mishnayot brings it here, and he also says it in the Mishnah Torah. He differentiates between hafarat neder and bitul neder. He says that hafarat neder is where the husband uses a language that is demanded by the Torah. The Torah gives you the lashon of hafarah, and you use that hafarah that the Torah gives you. If you use that language, that's called hafarat neder. And in the hafarat neder, it doesn't matter what the woman does at that point. Whether she decides to violate or not violate the neder, it has no impact. So for instance, a woman says that she's not going to eat, and the husband is made for the neder. And then by being made for the neder, she now has a choice. She can eat or she cannot eat, but the neder is gone. That's done through hafarah. On the other hand, the Rambam claims there's another vehicle for removing the neder, and that's called bitul neder. The bitul neder is accomplished when the husband forces his wife to abrogate the neder, to violate the neder. So basically, she takes a neder that she's not going to eat, and he comes on Shabbat and says, tli v'achli, take it and eat it. Tli v'shti, take it and drink it. So that's called bitul neder, which is where you wipe out the neder completely by having the woman do something that goes against the neder. Now that doesn't have to be done in a lashon of hafarah of the Torah. That could be done in any language, like tli v'achli, tli ushti. So what the Rambam says over here is the failure of efshi and the failure of ein zeh neder is those are lashonot of bito, but they don't work with bito because he's not doing something that's going to force the woman to violate the neder. So what the Rambam is saying is that's a failure because he's using lashon bito, or he's using trying to do it through bito because he's not using lashon hafara of the Torah, and therefore it doesn't work because he's not forcing her to go against it. The Raivit in the Mishnah Torah goes bonkers on the Rambam and says, what are you talking about? We have a principle in halacha, which is kofin la'evet v'ein kofin la'isha. That a person can force his evet to do what he wants or to bend to his will. A person cannot force his wife. So how can the Rambam claim over here that the person forces his wife to be mevatel the neder? You can't force your wife to do anything. You have a right, as the Raivit says, to be made for the neder. You have a right to nullify the neder. You don't have a right to compel your wife to do anything. Now, truthfully, the Rambam in his language over there says that if the husband tells her to violate the neder, in the end, she still has the free choice as to whether to violate the neder or not. But the fact that he uses a language telling her to violate the neder, that's enough to create a bitul neder. So she doesn't actually, in the end, have to eat or have to do something in order for it to be batel. It's just the fact that her husband demands of her that she does that, that is sufficient. Rav Soloveitchik over here says that the argument between the Ran and the Rambam seems to relate to how you're dealing with the neder. He says, Mistaber libid Aran, shafara mityachezet lisurei ha-neder, velo lemaaseh ha-neder. When the Ran says that you're trying to be made for the neder, you're trying to eliminate or neutralize the surim and not the maaseh ha-neder. Lachain, tzarich lashon hafara ha-mifureshet bakra. That's why you need to use lashon hafara v'kra. V'yelivu alibid the Rambam. L'matot mikuvenat hafara lemaaseh ha-neder. Hafara tries to attack the actual taking of the neder itself. Then any language that undermines the neder, which is this bitul neder, that is sufficient in order to wipe out the neder. Or he says, it's not considered to be like a neder. This will be the anti neder. It's not that. It's not part of parshat nedarim. It is basically the anti-neder. It's subsumed under the parsha of nedarim. And therefore, kol kinuyei nedarim ki nedarim. And just like by a neder, a kinui works, so too by hafara, kinui will work. And therefore, the demand for hafara, according to the Ran, will only be through a proper lashon of hafara. Whereas according to the Rambam, you can accomplish hafara, or what we call bitul neder, even without using that proper lashon of hafara. Now this might also relate to the issue before, which is, we said earlier that when it comes to a cheresh, he's not able to do hafara, and the Gemara discussed over there whether shmiya was an integral part of hafarat the neder or not. What the Gemara never addresses, but is a question amongst the Rishonim, is an ilam. A person who cannot speak, can he do hafarat neder? So for most of the Rishonim over there, it seemed obvious that that was the case, that he couldn't, because that's why they explained the word cheresh in the Gemara before to mean someone who is eno shomea, but he is midaber. He's midaber because he can do the hafara, but he's eno shomea, so he can't do shmiya. But they weren't willing to explain it as cheresh of the Gemara, because that's a shoteh, and someone who can't speak or can't articulate the hafara. The question is that the Rabbeinu Tam brings in the Gemara in Yevamot, Negadav Chav Gimel in Yevamot, over there, the Rabbeinu Tam says that even though there's a requirement by the Edim that it is Mipihem, that we hear the testimony of an aid directly, the Rabbeinu Tam over there says that Mipihem velo Michtavam, that we have to hear it from their words and not Michtavam, and not from their writing. That's only in the case where they're communicating with we're trying to infer something from what they've written down, or they're communicating with the Shoftim through writing. On the other hand, if the Edim are not present and they aren't going to come to the Beit Din, he says that they can send their testimony through Ktav. They can send it in writing to the Beit Din, and they can basically give an affidavit, and that would be acceptable testimony in the court. Now, for sure, there are many Rishonim that disagree with that Rabbeinu Tam. But according to that Rabbeinu Tam, who says that if you can, instead of testifying, you can write down your testimony and hand it to Beit Din, you could ask the same thing here. Does writing down the hafara function like a hafara? Is that sufficient way to create a hafara? Well, that might depend on what the requirement is here in terms of the Hafarata Neder. If the requirement of the Hafarata Neder is simply to communicate to the woman that the Neder is Mufar, or to make it clear that there is a Hafarata Neder because you're trying to eliminate the Isurim, then maybe over there writing would suffice in terms of doing Hafarata Neder. On the other hand, if you think that Hafarata Neder is a Hafla'a, which is that it's an articulation and like a neder, then maybe writing would not suffice over here, because unless we say ktav is kedibor, unless you really argue that writing something down is the equivalent of stating it and saying it, then maybe you could argue that it's hafla, but otherwise it would fail over here. So for that reason, how you formulate over here, how the hafara works, might have broader implications about when or why you can do hafara, because the hafara might, if you're going to the way that the Rav Soloveitchik suggests that the Rambam is saying it's hafla'ah, I think you could argue that even within the Ran, that he's requiring hafla'ah, that there's this much higher threshold by hafara'ah, then maybe ktiva will not work by hafara'ah. Maybe ktiva will work by hakama. To be making the neder through writing, that might be sufficient. But to do hafara'ah, where we require a full articulation and a clear conveyance of what you're doing, and maybe according to the Rambam, or even according to the Ran, you need a hafla'ah. It works like the anti-neder. Over there, you'd have to only work with ktiva if ktiva functions just like dibor. But if ktiva doesn't function like dibor, then maybe ktiva would not be sufficient for hafarat neder. So things like that will become important in terms of the hafara, depending on how you formulate exactly what is needed by the hafara. All right, we're going to stop here. 3 lines from the bottom of Ayin Zayin Amud Bet.